26. Sharper than thorns. On the Via Aquila, in front of the Scholaster Hall, the human tide parts suddenly. People pull back in stumbling dismay, a hole in the crowd. A man has fallen. Conroy Captain Alborn, of the Command Prefectus, pushes his way through the packed crowd and reaches the gap. Stiglich, one of his best from the Hort Palatine, follows him.
Keep back!
Alborn calls to the people.
Keep back!
The man is writhing on the ground. A factorum worker, perhaps, or a labourer from the mills. From his convulsions, it looks as though he has been poisoned. Alborn realises that the sight shocks him. Not the man in agony, for he has seen far too many humans in agony in the last few hours. What shocks is the empty circle of street around him. The Via Aquila is so congested, there has barely been space to move or breathe. But this man, this writhing man, commands a circle of open, littered ground a full 6 meters in diameter. The crowd looks on, wide-eyed and silent. Some pull up their purity tags for Alborn to see, but he isn't looking.
Is there a medic?
He calls out, crouching over the man.
A medic? A doctor?
No one answers. They are all as afraid of the crimson-gloved Prefectus officer as they are of a man afflicted with madness or disease. Alborn looks at Stiglich. She shakes her head.
We have to get him somewhere, he tells her. Carry him off the street.
He reaches down gingerly. The man is matted with filth, and he has soiled himself. He mumbles something, something Alborn can't quite catch, and stares up with blood-blown eyes.
I don't understand, Alborn tells him. Kin? King? King who? Is there someone here called King?
The man vomits suddenly. Strings of waxy glare spatter the roadway. Alborn flinches back. He doesn't want to touch the man. He can see dark spots on his skin. The maculae of disease. The rotting plague that the enemy carried in with them. He wants to put a shot through the man's head, but he can't do that in front of the crowd. And they can't leave him here. He clenches his teeth and reaches out again. The man gets up. He rises quickly, swaying. He grins at Alborn and Stiglich. Vomit drips from his chin. He says something again, the name, and then shivers. Spines, the size and colour of rose thorns, sprout from his skin. They erupt from his cheeks and brow, his jaw, his forearms and the backs of his hands. Alborn cries out in alarm and draws his sidearm. The crowd starts screaming. The man, thorn-stippled, turns and staggers away. Alborn can't take a shot with people all around. Stumbling, the man reaches the steps of the Scholaster Hall. The crowd parts like a curtain to let him pass, recoiling in fear and revulsion. Alborn and Stiglich run up the steps after him. He's gone inside, through the great doors, into the unlit, empty chambers of the hall. Alborn leads the way. It's cold, quiet, and dim inside. Every step sets off a dozen echoes. The ceilings are high, supported by pillars. A firelight glow throbs through the tall, dirty windows. Stiglich, carbine raised, nudges Alborn and nods. On the ground, a splatter of stomach contents. They edge down the hall, covering each other. Their footsteps making hundreds more, even though they try to tread softly. The man is waiting at the far end, under the huge Œil de Bœuf window that presents the stations of the Scholasticae in Glasaic. He is no longer a man. Some never-born thing has hatched, thorns first inside him, and burst him from within. It crouches against the wall, raw-boned and glistening, trying to peel and scratch the husk of the man's skin off itself like rind.
It's not just the palace that is invaded, Alborn thinks. We are invaded and conquered from within.
He wonders what awful sin, what crime, what accidental dream the man committed to become so ghastly a conduit. They both raise their weapons and fire, raking the thing backwards against the stone wall in a storm of dust, stone chips and ichor. Its never-life undimmed by ballistic trauma, it rushes them, Allborn, still firing, manages to get out of its path. Stiglitz is lifted off the floor, entwined by thorned fingers and pulled in half. Allborn will not forget the wet crack of her living spine separating. Dropping the halves of her, it turns on him. It giggles, trunters and cackles through pincushion lips. His weapon is out. He backs up, frantically trying to reload. It speaks. A name. The words that the man it hatched out of was trying to say. The Dark King. When it says it, it shudders, as though just speaking the syllables fills it with terror. A shadow crosses in front of Allborn. There's someone else here. Someone huge, moving fast and without a sound. A grey knight. An Astartes legionary in almost colourless plate, like a phantom. He has a sword in each hand, a black combat gladius and a longer battle sword. The Neverborn rears up at the warrior, hissing, clutching. The Astartes slices back, one blade and then the other. Fluid squirts from massive wounds. As it comes at him again, he buries the longsword into one armpit and the gladius into ribs. The Neverborn lurches backwards, the swords wedged through it, wrenching both from the warrior's grip. The Astartes reaches behind his head and draws his third sword, a chain blade clamped to his back. It revs and wails as he brings it down, sawing the Neverborn in half vertically. Now it dies. The warrior kills his chainsword and returns it to his back clamp. He crouches and recovers his other blades. Allborn knows him. The Lone Wolf, the last loyal son of Horus.
"Loken," he whispers. "Loken, sir."
Garviel Loken turns and looks at him. Rubio's blade is in his right hand, Mornitol in his left.
"It said the Dark King," he says. "I heard it, sir."
"Mean anything?" Allborn shakes his head.
"You're Allborn, correct?"
Allborn nods.
"Yes, sir. What, may I ask, to find you here?
I was with Keela," says Loken, escorting her. "But the war front swept in too close, so I sent her onwards and dropped back to establish a defense line."
"When was this?" asks Allborn.
"I don't know. An hour ago?
Two?"
He pauses.
"I'm on my way to the processional at the Eternals," Loken says. "The main fight is there. I heard the gunfire."
He looks around at the gloomy hall. He seems confused for a moment.
"Sir," says Allborn, "the processional, it is leagues from here."
"Where is this?" Loken asks.
"The Scholaster Hall, sir, on the Via Aquila."
"The Via Aquila?"
"Yes, sir. That's nowhere near where I was. Nowhere near where I was going."
Allborn hesitates.
"How does an Astartes get lost? How does an Astartes lose his way? Is the Lone Wolf injured? Is he... Oh, Throne save us. Is he invaded by the creeping inner madness too?"
"The Via Aquila?" Loken asks again.
"Yes, sir. Right outside."
"Something is wrong, Allborn."
"That is an understatement, sir."
"No, Conroy, Captain," Loken snaps. "I was at Prestor Gate. I was on the avenue there, approaching the processional. I heard gunfire just 100 meters away, so I followed the sound. Just 100 meters. And I was here."
"But no," Allborn stammers. "With respect, no, sir. Prestor is 14 kilometers from here at least. Probably 19. That's
not possible," says Loken.
"Exactly, sir.
But true," says Loken. "I think the Empiric is in us so deep it is warping everything. Time, spaces, the materia of the world and the palace. My being here is not possible, and yet here I am. The impossible, Allborn, no longer exists."